the book of Ephesians, and the word therefore just kept jumping off the page to us, and we literally saw it on this poster from the Bible Project, and it says therefore. And therefore is this word that brings two different thoughts together. And it brings us to this idea that if you are in Christ, therefore you get to live like him. And so please join us in Ephesians 5 today. We're going to be looking at imitating God. I don't know what that means to you. It seems pretty self-explanatory, speaking of simple, right? Like imitating God. We imitate a lot of different things and a lot of different people. We imitate like what we want to be like. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but in this very building, there's people that look around while they're worshiping. And I don't know if they're trying to imitate anybody else. I don't know their hearts. But I do know that when you see something done, you see something believed, you see something you're interested in, you might actually imitate it. I have a dear friend who had a pretty significant injury to his back when his children were young. And he actually hurt his back to the tune of where it made him walk a particular way. He walked with a tiny bit of a limp, just a little bit of a limp. And his son, who was completely able-bodied, came along well after this injury, but grew up watching a dad walk that way. You want to see where I'm going, and I'm sure you do, but this man walks with just a slight limp, and he's completely able-bodied. He imitates his dad. He thought that's how you're supposed to walk. And his dad tried to explain it to him and all that, but the reality is, that's just how it is. And you and I are imitating. And I want to ask you today, who is it that you're imitating? Are you imitating God, looking like God, showing off God, longing to be like him, or are you imitating the world? Or are you imitating people in your life that aren't necessarily imitating God? You guys remember we were in 1 Corinthians? Right? He says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow me as I follow God. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Look like me as I look like Jesus. Friends, I'm here this morning. I've had people pray for me already. I'm overwhelmed. I don't want you to imitate me and being overwhelmed, but I know that some of you are. I know some of you are overwhelmed. I know some of you got a lot going on. Some of you are disappointed with the way the world is. Some of you are disappointed with the way you are. Some of you are disappointed with the way your family is. Some of you are just flat out like, God, when are you going to break through and fix stuff? He's ongoing. He's the God that saves. I mean, we just sang about Jesus. How much of what we sang do we actually believe? Because as you and I believe, we're going to live. And if you believe that God has left you hanging, you're going to actually start living that way. If you believe that God is good and that he's better than anything you and I could come up against, we're going to be honest about our pain and our agony, but we're going to fix our eyes on him. And like my friend, we're going to walk with a limp, but we're going to walk nonetheless. And we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. So that's what I want to bring you today. Let's go to Ephesians 5. As you're looking in that, it's in the New Testament, right? And most of the New Testament is letters. The first four books are Gospels, and those were effectively letters, and they were explanations of the good news of Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And then the rest of the New Testament is unpacking what it looks like for God's people to be God's people. And so I'm going to read for you what we read last week, the last verse here, Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Early this morning, I had a chance to be tenderhearted, and I was for a little bit. And then I became frustrated. And we can talk about, well, you're tired and you're human and all that, but the truth is, I forgot just how tenderhearted, how merciful, how compassionate Jesus has been with me. I didn't hit anybody. I didn't throw anything. I didn't really even yell at anybody. But I wasn't at the top of my game. And now I get to preach. Welcome to how desperately one of your pastors needs Jesus. Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, be kind and compassionate to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. Therefore, be imitators of God. What would we be imitating right away, church? Compassion, right? Tenderheartedness and forgiveness. You be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us. And he gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As I was looking at this and I was just reading, this is the Bible that I tend to preach out of, and it doesn't have any explanations in it. It doesn't even have really any cross references in it. It just is the text, and I underline stuff and highlight stuff, and sometimes I do it the same way and sometimes I don't, and I'll write some things in there. Something stood out to me, and it's Hebrews 1:3. I was like, who is this Jesus that we're going to imitate? Who is this Jesus that we get to be like? And Hebrews 1:3 came to my mind. And then what's really cool is I was reading this commentary and I just got confirmed in that, right? And it said it just straight up. Hebrews 1:3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God. An exact imprint. He's the expression. He's the exact copy. He's the imitator of God. He's the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's coming back. He's got it all figured out. He's running things. He was running things before he came here. I believe theologically that he was still running things, but he actually took all that authority, and we'll look at this in the next few weeks in Philippians, but look, all that authority and didn't hang on to it, but he actually gave it up and became like us. And that he could show us that people can actually follow God because God's awesome, not because people are awesome. Well, that frustrates some of us. We're like, well, I may not be that awesome, but my wife is. Or whoever, fill in the blank, is, well, God's awesome, and that's who this Jesus is. So today, we're going to look at these three things, okay? Imitating God, walking in love, and giving yourself up. How many of you love giving up yourself? There's a sometimes. I like it. No offense to the fellas, but the only two individuals in this whole entire building that raised their hand out, I can't see you online, we're women. I'm going to tell you something about women, and we're going to get to this at the very end of the message, really. I think women understand something about humility that men have a lot to learn. Women, you're called so often by the names that you should be called by. And there are times you're called by names you shouldn't be called by. Let me tell you the names that you're called by that you should be. Beautiful. Strong. Resilient. Those are true. Men, just because you're physically stronger doesn't mean that you are stronger. You can be. But I want to encourage you with all of my heart that what we're talking about today in imitating God, walking in love and giving yourself up, is not imitating the world. Anybody besides me tired of this world? It's a hot mess. And we're like, gosh, after the election, it'll just get better. Nah. Hallelujah. Jesus comes back, but here's the really good news, Angie, right? He's actually ruling and reigning in his people now. Do you know that we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies now? I mean, for real, you know what I would love to do? Be like, take me now, Lord. I mean, this morning, 3 a.m., I was like, yep, let's go. You know, many of us are motivated on let's go when it's really desperate here, but when things are good here, or we're looking forward to something here, we're like, hey, God, hang on now. It'd be cool, but I mean, let me have sex first. Hey, God, it's real cool. Let me get married first. Hey, God, it's real cool. Let me see my kids grow up first. Like God coming back would be a bummer? You know what? It'd be a real bummer for those who don't know him. That's the only time that I think, man, give it a sec. You guys, I kind of feel bad for you because I'm getting stuff out of my system. Next hour, I'll be boring. It'll just be. Psh, 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 psh. Thanks for hanging in there. Hey, online, if you wanted something a little bit better, I don't know, maybe come here next hour. I don't know. Look, I want to get to it. Imitating God, not imitating the world. My dear friend Ben is here. My dear friend Pete is here. My dear friend Matt is here. All of you, many dear friends, but we all have been able to coach, and there's other coaches here. One of the best ways to coach is to not talk about the what not to do at the end. We want to talk about what to do at the end. Like, okay, this is what you're doing. Let's correct that. This is what it's supposed to look like. I'm going to see what I can do to land on what to do today. But we're going to talk about both, what not to do and what to do. Imitate God, walk in love, give yourself up. Don't imitate the world. Oh, okay, thanks. That's super easy. No, you have to die to yourself. You know, you've probably heard me say before, if it looks like death and it sounds like death and it smells like death and it tastes like death, then wait for it, it's death. We have to die to ourselves. That's how we get this new life. We're born again. We have to be. Happy birthday if you're in Jesus. Ephesians 5, 3 through 6. So he's like, look, Jesus gave himself up as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God for us. He died as us, friends. Now here's what the world looks like, and he's saying, nah, this isn't what we're like as Christ followers. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Like, if you're a called out one, you're set apart for Christ, this is not what you're known by, is looking like all this nastiness. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. I've heard it said that you can tell a lot about somebody's character by what they laugh about and what they cry about. That's convicting. That's like, sit down, Aaron, convicting. Look, some of the things that make me laugh are a shame. Some of the things that make me cry are really selfish. God is changing me. This is not what I'm known by only, but I have definitely am seated with Christ in the heavenlies and a work in progress right here. I'm being unpacked, and he's unpacking all of us. Let's not be all this, for you may be sure of this. Hold on, I jumped something. Verse 4. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. I've found this to be true in a really, really important person in my life named Kathy Day has helped me understand over and over again. The more thankful you are, the less room you have for all this nastiness. So be thankful instead. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater. You know what an idolater is. Let me just say it really quick. You idolize something other than God. You want something other than God. You make an idol out of something other than God. And you don't idolize God only. You worship him, and you love him, and you want him. But covetousness is saying, I want something that I don't have. Dear friend in Christ, you have God. What more do you want? Well, this, and that. Okay, let's repent. Let's turn back. Any of these people has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Don't let anybody get it twisted. The world, doing all of these things may seem fun, feel good, have this like unbelievable draw, but so does cheese or peanut butter in a rat trap. This is going to be a payment, okay? But in Christ, we're not these things anymore. So step away. Remember, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the resurrection of Jesus, by the ascension of Jesus, and by Him giving us His Spirit, we have the authority, therefore, to not live this way any longer. That's important, right? Let's land on this. Therefore, verses 7 through 14. Don't become partners with them. Oh, but I'm trying to reach them. Yeah, you and I disqualify ourselves by looking like the people we're trying to reach. We got to show them something different. We get to show them something different. Look, I got a word for any of you who are in a dating relationship or hoping to be. If you're a Christ follower, you are the difference maker. But if you lower yourself, you say, no, I'm going to act like this so I can reach you. You are taking your power and putting it off to the side. There's no missionary dating. Can we get that straight? Some of us are like, oh, no, but you don't understand. I was a good girl and I was drawn to this bad boy and we kind of struggled for a while, but then he came to Christ. That's the grace of God, not your amazingness. It's so much easier. Brandon, I have a bad back, but would you come up here just really quick? We're not going to do this, but this is just kind of a picture. What do you think is going to be easier? We're neighbors and we see each other a lot. That's why we're touching. Can I pull Brandon up here easier, or can he pull me down easier? Besides the fact that he's a young buck and stronger than me and I've got a back and all that, it's gravity, friends. It's just straight up. If I'm constantly trying to reach people by compromising myself, I'm getting pulled down. What I need to do is love them, try and help them, but not by trying to pull them and have this tug of war. I've got to show them Jesus. Thanks, bro. If that wasn't on screen, sorry. Compromise isn't going to do it. Humbling yourself will do it. Like, look, I can't get down there and try and pull you up. I need to point you to Jesus. I need to not compromise. I need to not become partners with sin. And this is what he's saying in verse 7. Because wrath is coming for sin. Not, hey, gosh, everybody's going to do it. Just have fun. Jesus died for you. Romans, right? We find like, hey, maybe I'll just keep on sinning so the grace of God abounds more. By no means. For one time, listen to these words. You were darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. This is a reminder. This is good coaching. You used to be this way. Now remember who you are. You're light in the Lord. Who's that again? I mean, 40 times we hear in the Lord, in Him, in Christ. Who are you light in? In the Lord. Good. All right. We're here. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. God gave you a brain and you can use it. Try to discern this. And how will you be able to discern it? I'm going to turn quickly to it. Philippians 4:8 came to my heart. Finally, brothers and sisters, fam, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. You and I, living as Christ followers, as imitators of God, we're going to bring light to the situation. I'm not going to get down here and try to say to anybody, look, I'm going to be just like you so you and I can both try to jump back up. No, I'm going to shine. I'm going to put light on the subject. I'm going to bring Christ to the scene. That exposes things. Shedding light on it exposes it. Wait for it, because it's about to say that when something's in the light, it's visible. Wow, that's helpful. Gosh, check it out. You guys don't even need to go to school. We just got it all right here. Light, you see. Dark, it's a mess. Actually, I'm kidding. Please go to school. All right. Some of your kids are like, yeah, Sunday only for 35 minutes. Who am I joking? It's going to be 40 probably. All right. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. God moves. You've seen me do this action before. Some of you haven't, but here's the idea, right? I don't know how it looks like to you, but imagine a gauge, okay? And on this side, you have L, which is light, or even life. And on this side, you have D, which is death or dark. And right here is the line, and that's the Holy Spirit. Right in here, from this line to the bottom of the gauge, is everything that's been exposed. God has said, look, this is not where we're at anymore. We just got a list of these things. Sexual morality, lying, coveting, being an idolater. Take all that stuff, right, and the light is shed on it. Now, Jesus says, great job. I love you so much. You're my called out one. We're going to keep growing here. So I'm moving the line. He's not moving salvation. He saved you because of who he is. You were awakened to that truth. You were alive to that. And now you're no longer in the darkness. So he's starting to expose the darkness. And he moves the line on you. And he starts to shed light on things before that were no problem to you. Never even thought about it. But now he's showing you. It's time to say goodbye to these things. You were in the dark, now you're in the light. And he just keeps on going all the way through eternity, and you're never, ever going to have too much of Jesus. Because you can never, ever get all of him. He's going to show you more and more of himself. And that's what it says right here in verse 14. Anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, and this is kind of a paraphrase. I love this. Paul is kind of like us. He's like, this is kind of like Isaiah 61:1, but he kind of breaks it down. He says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Say no to yourself. Die to yourself. Become alive in Christ. A great picture of Christian baptism as well. I love this idea that you and I would be awakened, and we would arise, and Christ will shine on you, and he'll show you how to go about it. So we're awakened to be filled with his Spirit. I must keep going. Ephesians 15 through 21. Here's what it looks like. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We're not in a time where everything's getting better. If Biden, if Trump, if some just out of nowhere third party person comes in, that doesn't make the world all better. There might be policies that you hate. There might be policies that you love. But the days are evil. We desperately need God. And not everybody wants him. And so this is a fallen world, and it will be restored. But it won't be restored by some political leader. It'll be restored by Jesus. Angie said it. I believe it. I believed it before you said it, but I do believe it today as well. Today, Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. He is the ruler. So look carefully how you live. Make the best use of your time. I got a word for some of you. The best use of your time isn't to get drunk, isn't to get high, isn't to get distracted by TV or sports. The best use of your time is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Does that mean you just sit around all day? Bible, songs. That would be cool, but probably not. Because you still have to go about and live. He didn't beam you up like Scotty the day you got saved. He left you here and he wants you to grow and he wants you to shine. Make the best use of your time. Talk about him. Share him. Enjoy him. If you're going to go watch something, if you're going to be a part of something, can you have discussion about it? I wonder how many of us would actually be okay if we got rid of Netflix. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine. Now, if some of you are like, oh, I don't like wine. I'm a beer man. Okay, put beer there. No, I'm about weed. That just helps me get faded. Don't get filled on anything other than the Holy Spirit. Don't find your joy somewhere that's limited. You can love your baby, you can love your wife, you can love your husband, you can love the place that God has put you in. Do not find your fulfillment there, because they're image bearers. The one who actually made them is a better place to find your fulfillment. And I'll say this at the end, but I'll say it right now as well. C.S. Lewis said, when I've learned to love God better than I love my earthly dearest, I love my earthly dearest way better. Because that's how God is. He makes everything better. We have to keep going. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Who uses the word debauchery? Okay, I mean, you're highly educated and you're a pastor. So probably, right? But like, look, wild living. Being stuck in that. Don't do that. But be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about being filled with wine or filled with anything other than God. He's like, nah, what you're actually made for is to be filled with the Spirit. To be controlled, to be focused on, to be longing to understand him and to follow him and to love him. And then I love this, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. For all of you who wish Josh would do something different, he covers all of this by the grace of God. You like one over the other? Cool. We've got options, though. And we're going to actually deliver that. This is like musical living, right? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Look, I want to encapsulate this for you, and I've got a lot of text, and I'm just going to lay it out for you. I will not cover everything you want. I cannot give you all the applications. Holy Spirit, please do that. I know you will in Jesus' name. And so look for this. But here's an encapsulation. You and I are allowing the Holy Spirit to direct our behavior. And when we do, it'll result in mutual ministry and submission. Submitting to one another. I'm about to talk about marriage. I'm about to talk about family, so children and parents. And I'm about to talk about work, and I'm about to do it really quickly. So I want you to look for this idea of mutual submission. A leader submits to those that she or he leads by understanding their needs and helping take care of their needs. Those who are being led submit to the authority by honoring them and obeying them. Nothing in what I'm about to read says that you need to submit to authority that tells you to do something against God. Do not hear me say that. Do not hear me say that abuse, that being mistreated and all that is totally fine. It's not. You're going to have those things happen in your life, but if those things are happening on a consistent basis, those things are happening to you right now, I'm not telling you to submit to something God would tell you not to do. I'm not telling you to submit to sin, and neither is God's word. But you better know that we are going to face opposition in this world. Make sure that you understand that opposition is not the same as abuse. Sometimes they're one and the same. Sometimes they're not. Here we go. We're going to talk about marriage first. And there's an amazing book called The Bible that has a lot more about marriage than just Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. But this is some of the most profound stuff in my life. There's a book called Love and Respect by Emerson Eggericht that is very powerful, very impactful. If you're married or thinking about getting married, I encourage you to read that book alongside of God's word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. They're not the Lord, but submit to them as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. I want to ask you really quick, what did Jesus do to save his church? He gave himself up. He sacrificed himself. He died. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Aaron, you just said, not everything. In everything is what the Bible says. If this is sin, to submit to your husband, not you don't like it, you don't agree with it, but it's sin and it's against God, that should go without saying, but it hasn't. This has been used as a weapon for years, mostly by men, but sometimes by women. We're submitting to one another, it says in Ephesians 5:21, out of reverence, out of fear, out of respect for Christ. Your submission is first to God and then to others. And so thus ends the little bit that he says to the wives. Thus begins quite a bit that he says to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. I don't have time to unpack all of what all the amazing minds of men and women for the centuries have said in this. I do know this part that I could unpack for you. God's word will clean you. Just like water cleans the outside, the word is going to clean you inside and out. And so, husbands, lead and lead with God's word. So he cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Why? So that he might present the church, his bride, to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. As you follow Jesus, you're going to be more like him. Husbands, as you unpack the word and you unpack leadership and you unpack laying down your life for your wives, you're going to help them be this shiny, sparkly, amazing woman. She's doing a lot of work, but you get to help her as well. Gosh, I want to unpack this more, but I'm going to move on. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Look, Jesus loves the church, lays himself down for her, cleans her up. He's going to present her to himself perfect. She's being perfected now. She's seated with him now, but like physically living here. Aaron, that's weird. You just talked about two different things. They're happening at the same time. It's a mystery. So in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Woo-wee, this sounds so much to me like some of the most helpful marital counsel you can get. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 32 says, this mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Look, I've been reading this for a while, and I read it this morning, and something fresh came to me. Jesus made all of us. And when Adam was made, it wasn't good that he was alone. And so God put him in a deep sleep, took a piece of him. We always call it his rib. Maybe I wasn't there. But it was a piece of him. And made woman. And then said, be together so you could become one. We are members of one another in the body of Christ. And in marriage, if you're married, and I know that some of you are like, I'm single, why are you doing this? Because the Bible talks about it, I make no apologies. I mean, you want to be a good married person? Follow Jesus. I've got to move, but what I'm saying is that this oneness is really, really cool, and it's God's idea, and it's a picture of his oneness with his people. However, let each one of you, in the NIV it says, each one of you must love his wife as himself. And let the wife, she must see that she respects her husband. Do you imagine how amazing marriage would be if we were outdoing one another in kindness? It would be so much easier for wives to submit to a husband that leads like Jesus. It'd be so much easier for a man to lead a wife that submits like the church is supposed to submit to Jesus. Who of you is willing to break the crazy cycle of not being loved or not being respected? Jesus has modeled it for us. It's called laying down your life, giving yourself up. So, love and respect, as I said. And we're going to go to Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and this is painful for me. I'm not a perfect husband, but I think I've been a better husband than I have been a father lately. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some of you right now are going, oh, my mom made me memorize that. Honor your father and mother. She made me memorize that too. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I truly can't unpack this the way I want to, but I'll say this. Disciplining and instructing anybody is hard work. Most people don't want to be disciplined. We even tried to come up with a different word for disciplines. Look, you guys, it's challenging to do so, to discipline and to instruct without anger. But God has given you the ability to do that. Keep trying. This is about mutual submission. You submit to the needs of your children. They need to be led well. They need to be led in love. They need to be treated the way you've been treated by Jesus. Kids, you need to obey your parents. You need to honor them. Again, not if they're telling you to do something against Jesus, but they're telling you to do something you don't want to do. I'm going to say this just like a dude would. Get over that. Give in. And now to work. Talks about bondservants, which could be considered slaves, could be considered somebody who chooses to give their lives in service. Let's look at the immediate application for us. It's work. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You can check that out in Colossians 3:23. Who you're working for, Christian, is Jesus first. You do what you do for him, and other people will benefit from it. Remember, you're under his authority first and foremost. But like, submit to your earthly masters. Well, I don't like my job. I don't see anywhere in there where you're supposed to like it. You're supposed to love Jesus at your job. Honor him. I love my job, and it's hard work. And I have to remember that in my position, I'm actually serving Jesus before I'm serving you guys. Whoo-wee. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. God knows, and he will not say, well, you're cute. You're nice. I like you more because you're from this side of the aisle. No partiality. God says, you, as a Christ follower, whether you're a boss or a worker, get to submit. First and foremost to him, and then to each other. So that's about service. I can't unpack it anymore. Here's that quote from C.S. Lewis again. It's in a book called The Question of God. It's a very interesting read. I've only read about half of it, but it's this kind of made up debate between C.S. Lewis, who was a former atheist and became a Christ follower, and then Sigmund Freud, who stayed an atheist. When I've learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. This morning we talked about imitating God, and that's walking in love, giving yourself up, and being filled with his Holy Spirit. Therefore, do it. Therefore, remember this. I have a bunch of questions for you. They're discussion questions. They'll be up on the screen. Thanks for hanging with me through all of this. I want to remind you that these are for discussion. Go and discuss. I've gone too long for you to stay too long in this particular room, and it's not beautifully gorgeous outside. But I'm going to need you to lovingly and as quickly as you can gather your things and move, because we got some other people that are coming in, and I'll meet you guys outside. I want to encourage you to remember to follow Jesus, not to earn anything, but to live out what he has for you. He will unpack that for you more and more. You're filled with the Spirit. You're going to be more like Jesus, and you're going to love better. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you're with us. I thank you that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. So may we not try. May we instead walk in it, live it, share it, give ourselves up for the glory of your kingdom. I pray for my friends and my family as they are in the midst of some of the craziest time that this world has ever seen. And yet you're still God, and you haven't stopped being, and you're doing something in your people that we probably wouldn't believe if you told us ahead of time. But you did. You said, I will always be faithful. I will complete the work that I began in you. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. Be strong and courageous, and let it be contagious. Peace.